A man sits on a plane, mentally cataloging every attractive woman around him. The tattooed passenger across the aisle, the middle-aged woman beside him, the redhead in front. He knows this is his last chance to indulge these thoughts before entering sex addiction rehab. The irony cuts deep when a fan approaches, thanking him for helping find his wife through his best-selling book on seduction. Meanwhile, the author himself is headed to treatment for betraying his girlfriend. This is Neil Strauss, and his journey from pickup artist to broken man, searching for authentic love, reveals uncomfortable truths about modern relationships that most of us would rather ignore. Why do we destroy what we claim to want? Strauss craves relationships when single, misses freedom when committed. 6 months before rehab, he betrayed his girlfriend Ingrid with her friend in a church parking lot. Then, hours later, accepted Ingrid's loving offer of her lap to sleep on during their flight to meet his family. This pattern threatened to leave him dying alone. Even seemingly perfect couples confess their doubts. His married friends coped through infidelity, resignation, or denial. With technology creating endless dating options, fidelity seemed increasingly difficult. This launched him on a 4-year odyssey through free love communes, polyamorous communities, and encounters with scientists, swingers, and spiritual healers, while confronting the real question, not whether monogamy was possible, but whether he was capable of genuine intimacy at all. The deeper wound came from his mother, who made him her emotional confidant against his father. In one pivotal memory, she sat beside his bed while he wore Star Wars pajamas, confiding her marital unhappiness and calling his father a monster. She revealed wanting to divorce after their honeymoon, but staying because her own mother wouldn't let her come home. She shared inappropriate details about his father's sexual inadequacy, then made the boy promise never to grow up like his father. This emotional incest created a toxic blueprint. Love meant being responsible for someone else's emotional needs while sacrificing your own. Is monogamy written in our DNA? Anthropologist Helen Fisher explained that humans are an adulterous animal with dual reproductive strategies, serial monogamy plus clandestine adultery. We have three distinct brain systems for mating, sex drive, romantic love, and attachment, and keeping all three engaged with one person requires constant effort. Strauss's research revealed no evolutionary evidence supporting lifelong monogamy, and 98% of men fantasize about people other than their partners. A brain scan showed his visual center constantly activated, making him notice every passing woman, while his prefrontal cortex, the brain's brake, was weak. Dr. Amen confirmed he was torn between contradictory evolutionary desires for variety and family, with safety circuits damaged by childhood trauma. Then came a revelation. Vasopressin receptors in your brain's reward center influence fidelity. Long receptors make you more faithful. Without them, you're a born player. But the geneticist offered unexpected relief. Bad parenting reduces these receptors, but nothing is completely genetic. Even conditions like autism and schizophrenia have environmental factors. You get to change things, he said, words that would prove prophetic. If monogamy felt impossible, perhaps polyamory was the answer. Strauss explored compersion, feeling happy when your partner is happy with someone else, until realizing his partners would also see others, which made him deeply uncomfortable. He created a relationship pod with three women, fantasizing that several little loves can add up to one big L love. Reality proved messier. Belle was possessive, Veronica judgmental, Anne harbored deeper feelings than he realized. A polyamory expert explained their household mathematically created 6 relationships to manage, an advanced skill. Despite daily meetings and careful logistics, the experiment fractured after boundaries were violated during a disastrous outing. Looking into Anne's eyes without fear, Strauss finally understood. His hatred wasn't about her, it was about his mother. He'd always seen love as a demand, a padded cell stealing his freedom, because his mother used love to control him through guilt. The polyamory experiment failed not because the structure was wrong, but because he was still running from intimacy itself. When Strauss found Sage, a woman who shared his desire for sexual adventure while maintaining deep emotional connection, he believed he discovered happily and non-monogamously ever after. They woke together, sometimes with another woman, then made love one-on-one afterward. Multiples are for adventure, but one-on-one is for connection. At 3 months, Sage confessed, "I miss me." She missed her wild single days of complete freedom. Strauss realized she'd been neglecting her own needs to cater to his, so he told her what he wished Ingrid had told him. "Why don't you be free then?" 3 days later, Sage flew to Mexico for a weekend with two men. The moment he dropped her at the airport, something broke inside him. He was consumed with jealousy. When she returned, though physically present during sex, she was mentally elsewhere, eyes firmly shut, probably fantasizing about someone else. He finally understood how Ingrid felt when he was sexually present but mentally disconnected. You were supposed to have more love to give after these experiences, but instead there's less love, less sexuality, less Sage. After Sage, Strauss pursued intensive therapy, EMDR, somatic experiencing, hypnosis, cognitive behavioral work. Each method chipped away at his trauma, gradually reducing its emotional intensity. Following his therapist's advice, he practiced radical detachment, changed his phone number and email, blocked social networks, and didn't share his new information with anyone with tits. Implementing this plan, he shook like an alcoholic in withdrawal. "Think of yourself as Tarzan," a friend suggested. "You can't hold on to the vine behind you and the vine in front of you forever. At some point, you have to let go of the past to move forward." Eventually, he entered an unfamiliar state, the absence of feeling. Looking at an elementary school photo of himself at age 8, something finally moved in him, a feeling that might be love or sadness, possibly both. He placed the photo by his bed and vowed this child would now be protected, loved, accepted, and trusted unconditionally. He began reparenting himself, replacing negative thoughts with positive truths, forgiving his mistakes, soothing himself when he regressed. For the first time, he was learning to become whole on his own. When Strauss reconnected with Ingrid at her brother's wedding, both had transformed independently. She'd learned to stop seeking completion through others. He'd healed enough to show up authentically. 3 months later, they performed a symbolic burial ritual for the elephant in the room of their relationship. Burying it in the backyard, Strauss finally understood true intimacy, when partners stop living in their trauma history and start relating in the present moment. Love isn't something to be learned, but something we already have that must be uncovered by unlearning our defensive patterns. As Strauss dealt with his enmeshment issues, he became less concerned about wanting sex outside the relationship. As Ingrid dealt with her abandonment issues, she became less concerned about losing him if he felt attraction to another woman. There's no natural way to be in a relationship. Any style is right as long as it's a decision made by the whole person and not the hole in the person. Their commitment is to nurturing three entities: him, her, and the relationship itself.